Welcome. We've come together this morning to pay our last respects to our brother, Frank DeJager. We also want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and give him great thanks for the things that he has done in Frank's life and in our lives. I pray also that the family will find comfort and you, his friends, at this time. Let us pray. Father in heaven, be with us in a special way this morning. May we experience your full and overflowing grace and your abounding love and steadfastness. Amen. We will be singing two songs this morning, both from the praise book. And the praise book is found both in brown at the pew and in green underneath the pew. They're both the same praise books. And we're going to begin by standing and singing Amazing Grace. It's in the praise book, hymn 293. May be seated. Frank DeJager, 90 of Waupun, went to be with his Heavenly Father on Sunday, December 20th, 2020, with his family at his side. Frank was born April 3rd, 1930, in Aastrum, Netherlands, the son of Fred and Jenny Terpstra DeJager. In 1947, the family moved to the state of Washington for 2 years prior to moving to Wisconsin. Frank served with the U.S. Army for several years in Alaska during the Korean War, attaining the rank of corporal. On August 19, 1954, he married Catherine Mulder at Alto Christian Reformed Church. He worked for Visser Brothers in Waupun and in 1960 embarked in his own business, DeJager Builders. He was a member of Alto Christian Reformed Church, where he served as elder and deacon and belonged to the Faith Bible Study Group. Frank served on the school board for Central Wisconsin Christian High School and Christian Grade School. He volunteered at Bargains Galore. He was a member of the American Legion Post 210 of Waupun. He and his family enjoyed the outdoors and did a lot of hiking. Frank was involved in the prison ministry and was very involved in starting the Christian Reformed Church in Anchorage, Alaska. He was also instrumental in building the Dutch windmill in Waupun. Frank is survived by his three daughters, Kathleen and Carl Heisinga of Fox Lake, Rosalie and Steve Homan of Waupun, and Cindy and Dan Vanderwall of Hudsonville, Michigan, a son, David, Jessica DeJager of Waupun, 16 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, 3 great-great-grandchildren, 2 brothers, Lambert and Bessie DeJager of Alto and John Arlene DeJager of Waupun, 2 sisters, Etta Schragardis of Randolph and Gertrude Harold Mulder of Waupun, along with sisters-in-law, brothers-in-law, and several nieces and nephews. Frank was preceded in death by his wife, Catherine, 2 brothers, Dirk DeJager and Eldon DeJager, his parents, and 2 infant sisters, Yitzka and Anik. I'm just taking a guess at that last one. No one knew how to pronounce that last name. In English, it's Julie and Anne. This time we'll ask James Heisinga to come forward to the mic over here. He'd like to share something.
Hello, everybody. My name is James Heisinga. I am the oldest grandchild of Frank here. Just a few months ago, one of my final memories with him was the honor to take a 5-generation picture, because I have a granddaughter of my own now. And so there's a really cool picture. If you guys look me up on Facebook, you guys can find that. You can see that picture. It's really precious. There he is, holding this little child in his hands like this, just looking down at her. And it was really pretty, a really cool thing. But some of the other fond memories I have of him as a child growing up, for years it was just me, Ben, and Kim. Christmas Day would roll around, and he would dress up as Santa and kind of hide outside, and you could see him peering through the windows. He'd come rolling in with some presents and distribute them out to him. And we all knew it was Grandpa, but it was so much fun to just be part of that. It's a great memory. And of course, you know, he's got his train set. I can't imagine how many times we've damaged that thing over the years, and he's very quietly repaired it and fixed it his own self. You know, there's of course his shop. I remember me and my brother hiding in there and playing hide and seek. There's so many nooks and crannies, crawling through the rafters and everything that's going on up there. Just great times around him. But of course, I know pretty much every grandkid here can probably remember him taking us for rides on the tractor through the backyard, around the cornfield, down to the gravel pit, chasing us up and down, all that good stuff. I can't imagine he hasn't done that with all of us here at some point. Am I right, guys? So, but yeah, just a man that loved his grandkids, loved teasing us, giving us a hard time. I remember shortly after Grandma passed away, he was at my mom and dad's house, and I said, "Hey, Grandpa, how you doing?" And he looks at me and he goes, "Huh? Who are you?" And I said, "Grandpa, I know you're too sharp for that. I know for a fact you know I am." And he just smiles, and he's like, "Yeah, James, yeah, you got me." But yeah, right up to the end, always harassing us, giving us a hard time. You know, there's a lot of sick burns that he gave us over the years, but most importantly, I've heard stories of how he's perhaps affected, you know, people, probably the way we've been raised. He's been a great father figure to, I know, like all you guys, all the kids, and it's definitely affected the way we were brought up. You look around here, you see all these all these grandkids that I'm praying that we all continue to love the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the way he raised us, or at least he raised you guys, and you guys pass it on to your grandkids. You know, he entered this world with nothing. He leaves it with nothing. Well, I shouldn't say that. He enters heaven with nothing other than Jesus Christ as his own Lord and Savior. But he does leave behind a legacy. A legacy of children and grandchildren and now great-great-grandchildren that we all hope to raise, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And we just sang that song that he's up there praising God 10,000 years ago by really quick. So he's got a head start on all of us, guys. Someday we'll all be up there praising the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So with that, we miss you, Grandpa.
And I invite Ben up for the trumpet solo. There are two scripture texts that I plan to address as I speak to you this morning. And the first, they're both found in the back of the bulletin if you have that handy. First comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "Therefore we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And the second text is from Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and went away." Frank was not at the council meeting the first time I came to the church here and met with the elders and deacons down in the council room. Larry Meyer had arranged for it because the church was at a point where they were very small, and they were told by one of the congregational sages or whatever that they might need to think about closing the doors. And they thought there were a couple of avenues that they might take, and I don't know which order it was. It was before my time, but they thought, well, maybe combining with Living Hope Church in Fox Lake as a possibility, or Grace United Reformed Church in Waupun. And I'm quite certain whatever they were thinking, Frank was involved in both cases as they explored the options, because it was his way always to make work of something. And he wasn't one to let a day pass without doing something. And so I think any of those efforts, as they discussed him, that was like his marching orders. Okay, let's go figure this out. Let's go do it. And so he wasn't at the meeting when I came, because I was kind of an afterthought. And but when the church decided to give me a try, and I preached a couple of sermons, and the congregation voted to have us, and this was back in 2002, he made work of it. He became most faithful supporter and a kind friend and laborer in the Lord. I can't even tell you how many years he served as an elder. Since I've been here, we've been here like 18 years. I think he was probably an elder 14 of those 18 years. And he would have kept going, except for we got so concerned about his physical health that we didn't want him driving nights to council meetings. We still had him help serve the Lord's Supper here and there, but then it was a matter of he gets real dizzy in the mornings, and we thought we can see him falling over. He would have kept ticking until the final second, because he, if you follow football language, he was the kind of guy that really he just left it all on the field, and I think that's proven in his life. Catherine was terrific as well, and I always think of them in tandem. Of course, she was a big smile, loved to tease people, a lot of fun, and they were almost always together. And unless Frank had come to church or the parsonage with a ladder or planning on raking or doing some digging, she would be with him otherwise, because they traveled everywhere together. She would tell me once in a while, as he got older, sometimes I worry about him, you know, and I can still picture her face. They said they never fought in all their years of marriage. I don't know if that was true. Well, I do know this. It surely takes a good man for there to be no fighting in a marriage, because you know the woman couldn't pull it off. I got to ask before I get too much further. The doll that looks like Catherine in a wedding dress, what's the story with that? She was that small. Okay, so your dad had someone make it kind of identical that was actually the material from Catherine's dress at her wedding. Okay, because I tell you what, when you come in here in the dark and are reaching to turn the lights on, and that thing's staring you in the face, I didn't want to offend anyone either. You know, someone probably made it for mom or whatever. But yeah, that'll wake you up. You weren't going to keep Frank from working, were you? No, and going to church. It was one of our greatest pleasures, I think, as a council today to say, like, with all this COVID stuff, listen, the older folks at least have to start coming back to church. And we did that way back because we knew it was killing them. You know, I mean, not literally, but it was just really a heavy burden because church and worship mean so much to them. And so we began to have the older people in for a few weeks at first, and then we just invited others and tried to space people out. And we've been at it for many, many months, and I'm so glad, especially now, that he wasn't cooped up in the house or trying to watch church on TV or whatever. But no offense to anybody who's doing it that way right now. That's fine, but it meant a lot. We all knew his heart was weak. When I first came, you know, back then he told me that the doctor said, maybe you got the 7 to 10 years to live, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, great, you know, we're just getting started here and you're going to leave. What's with that? But he stayed a lot longer. I'm glad. He wasn't going to go away too soon. And he made work of a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Whatever the church was going to do, Frank and Catherine would be there. It was weekly worship, obviously, faith Bible study, fall family flings, pro-life efforts the two of them engaged in, potlucks. He organized always the spring cleanup. He was probably the one guy, I don't know if he kept a calendar, but had it on his calendar, and he'd start setting the Saturday and when we were going to do it. Served on the building committee projects many times, replaced the second floor windows, at least spearheaded the replacement of the second floor parsonage windows, made the standing podium. I came up with this idea, Frank, can you do this for me? Can you make me like a little pulpit, a podium that I can stand and do work at? I can store stuff in and right on the top, you know, and be able to have it about the same size so my vision would be okay. And so he created this thing. And I know when I was talking to David and the kids, I know sometimes he'd take bits and pieces of things he'd find, ornate pieces or whatever, and he'd use them in his own creations. And so he's got some designs on the front and the sides. And I wouldn't doubt it. If those round circles at the bottom were actually croquet balls or something, you know, sand. But it looks terrific. It's worked terrific. And I said a second time, Frank, I'd like to pray more. My knees are weak. I got weak knees. But I said, so I'd like to have something like a little prayer area. I can have the Bible on it. I can put my notes down, and I can be kneeling. And I haven't used this near enough, but he made a wonderful little kneeling desk for me. And so I wanted to bring both of them here and let you see. You try to pay the guy for something like that, you can forget about it. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that later, you know. He always refused to take money, and as he did so, he'd tell me that I was the dominie, right? I thought, is that sacrilegious? That sounds Catholic to me, right? But no, dominie was apparently what they called pastors in the Netherlands, in the Dutch Reformed tradition. So, in Ephesians 2, there, the apostle speaks about how we're saved by grace through faith. God does not forgive us because we've been good. I hope you hear this. God does not forgive us because we've been good. Many religious people don't quite understand that. God forgives us because Jesus was good. Jesus has made a way by his perfect sacrifice, even unto death, and then rose to life again, that when we trust in him and in his work, we become forgiven by God and are made into new creatures. It's that new creature understanding that I'm going to play off of here with the verse from Ephesians this morning. Because after we trust in Jesus Christ, the living, resurrected Savior and God and King, after we trust in him, Paul tells us more than about this new creature status that we are part of, that we've entered into, and how it comes into play. And this is what he writes there in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's projects, so to speak. His projects. He's chosen us like a piece of wood from off of a pile. And God blows off the dust and the debris and wipes it so it's clean. That's being saved by Christ. That's being justified. But then he starts carving and chiseling and shaving the piece of wood and sanding it into a special piece, a piece of furniture or whatever. And we all of a sudden find that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ah, so then, God does not save us because we are good. God saves us to make us good. We are his workmanship. Then I have to say, what a special piece of workmanship was your dad. God made work of him, okay, using his experience as a young boy. God takes from all the treasures of our life and he uses them. Growing up in the Netherlands, right, parents and siblings, pole vaulting canals, whatever, how are that supposed to be done, dodging German soldiers, we've heard those stories when they were under occupation there. And he travels to America. How many people have done that, right? You see it in the movies. His time in the armed forces. Thank you, gentlemen, for your service there as well. He travels to Wisconsin, works as a carpenter, marries a lovely bride who laid eyes on him, and she used to tell me she never took him off. I think I've said this at your mom's funeral too. I'll never forget how she just adored his perfect hair, not a spade out of place. A spade. Who calls it that? And then starting his own business, raising children, becoming a grandpa, great-grandpa, great-great-grandpa. And not only to his own flesh and blood, but as a man, he meant a tremendous amount to other families and their children. I can't count, well, I can count because we're a smaller church, but every family that came through here, especially when they had children, he doted on them. You see, this whole time, though, I believe the Lord and the church meant more than him, more to him than all else. In families, his own, the extended family, his work, it all played to that, to Christ and his church. And I assure you, family members, that your faith in Christ is his great reward. And if you don't have it, he wants you to have it. I love Frank. He's one of the kindest men I know, present tense. Glory to God for what he did in Frank DeJager. Sure, he found pleasure and purpose in his woodworking, his carpentry, but children, wow, were such a joy to him. And that makes me think of the second passage in Matthew 19, 13 through 15. It says, then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. It was in the spirit of Jesus to love and welcome little children. It still is. It is the Lord's way. They are part of the kingdom of heaven, just as you and I. Do not hinder them and make it hard for them to come to God. Give them your time, love them, teach them, enjoy them, and let them enjoy you. And above all, love the Lord with them. Boy, if that doesn't sound like Frank, that's what he did. I believe those were the greatest works that God made him to walk in. Those were. He brought little children into his shop and did projects. He talked and sat with them in church. He drove them around, as was mentioned earlier, in that little cart hooked to the back of the lawn tractor. I heard a wonderful story just the other night. He saved plastic flowers that he was supposed to throw away. Were they Catherine's plastic flowers that she wanted thrown away? Stuck them in a suitcase and saved them, and then gave them to his grandkids. Drove his daughters nuts, probably, to have these old plastic flowers now in their house, but he wanted to share them with his grandkids, his friends. It was as if he was thinking about them when he wasn't even with them. Family, I'm certain there were moments where you saw weaknesses and stubbornness and perhaps other sins that troubled you. That's the nature of fallen men. We all have our share of it. It's the workmanship of God, however, that is found in the character of the person that we can marvel at. It's the part we find easy to love and enjoy. And in Frank, I enjoyed the dutiful way he kindly labored on behalf of the church, but I most admired the way he welcomed little children. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you very much for this family and these friends. And this man who still exists, though separated from the body, we do look forward to the day when you return and the dead are raised and our souls and bodies come together as one new, glorious. In the meantime, we thank you for him and we ask that you continue to teach him as he rests in Abram's bosom. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final song, again from the praise book, will be Silent Night. It's hymn 184. And we'll stand again to sing. 184, all verses.